I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. It's your boy, the Primetime Kappa Pop DiBiase. And you guys need to listen to my show, the Primetime Angles Radio Show, which is available live Thursday through Monday, starting at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And you don't know where we might be. Vegas, L.A., Houston, New York, Miami. We do this show everywhere, mobile, but this is all about cashing that ticket. So if you are a big bettor or a small bettor and you like to bet college basketball, NBA, NFL, college football, MLB, WNBA, anything that you can bet under the sun, we'll have an angle for you, okay? So make sure you guys do tune in to the Primetime Angles Radio Show, hosted by your boy, the Primetime Kappa Pop DiBiase, also featuring Jeff Dawson, Philly Pete, Bobby Del Rio, and many more guests that come in on a weekly basis. So you guys make sure to tune in, because this is the best sports betting show in the world. Once again, the best sports betting show in the world. Don't miss out. And this is the Primetime Angles Radio Show, live every Thursday through Monday, starting at 7 p.m. Pacific time. Good evening. This is the Primetime Angles Radio Show with your boy, the Primetime Capper, Pop DBIC. And this is the day being May 16th. I was about to say the 15th, Jeff, but it's May 16th. You know, payday was yesterday for a lot of people in America. But today is the day after payday, after you paid your rent. No, this ain't even the rent check, Jeff. My bad. This ain't the rent check. This is the where you go get your leisure on, right? But people who have a lot of bills, checks is just another day in life, just making sure that you can live your life properly. But yeah, we all know that. I'm just thinking about the people on the 1st and the 15th, Jeff. I'm sorry.
I was just thinking of Bone Thugs and Harmony for a second.
Right. But, you know, usually, but that's the 1st, though, Jeff.
Yeah, yes. I know that was the 1st. That's why when you said pay, I'm like, it ain't the 1st, pops. We're already 2 weeks deep in there now.
Right. Yesterday, yeah, with Bone Thugs. And it's funny you bring that. And he's funny you talk about that. You know, that song, when it came out, that song was an ultimate, like, just nonstop playing. So I know you heard it plenty of times too, Jeff, because when the song came out, they couldn't stop playing it. And it literally was like, because everybody was just, because it related to everybody, white, black, Asian, Mexican, Dominican, Puerto Rican, whatever, alien, it don't matter. It connected with everybody, because everybody's been there. 1st of the month, I'll get you back on the 1st of the month. I got my money coming in at the 1st of the month. Every race in America has said that one time in their lifetime. So that's why you got to make these common songs that common people can get along with, man. You know, so it's just not all about you inner city with the 1st of the month. Everybody who's waiting for the 1st of the month. Everybody.
I pulled up to the gas station today. I had it on channel 43 on Sirius, which is the old rap and, you know, Dre and Tupac and all of them. And they cut to a 90s. They had Crisscross Jump on. And I had the door open. I was pumping the gas, and some lady was next to me. She goes, "Man, I really like the style of music you're listening to." And I just started laughing.
Jeff was looked at her. I even know the song. So the damn record. She probably thinking that she thinking it just came out last week or something. You know, Jeff. If you've been to any arena over the last 25 years, yes, they play that. Especially at a basketball game, they always play Jump. When you about to do the tip, when you about to do a tip off, you got to get Jump in there.
Absolutely.
All right, Jeff. Let's talk about, you know, there's so much stuff to get into, but let's talk about where I was supposed to be this week. I was supposed to be in Brooklyn this week for the Wilder Brazil fight. Looks like that's not gonna happen. It's a little bit too late in the week. I would have much rather been there today for the press conference and everything like that, at least, you know. So I'll probably be sitting out of this fight, even though I am approved to be at the fight. But it's been a little bit of controversy this week, but I think this is exactly what he wants. But Deontay Wilder actually was in an interview at the... It wasn't the press conference. It was actually his own press... His own press workout. You know, Jeff, those were... Everybody should know, you know, I put up stuff on IG, and Rain puts up some of my work as well, too. But this is what we go to as a kind of a kickoff for Media Week. But when you're a big star like Deontay, you can have your own, you know, where they just go see you. So let me get to the reasoning why I even brought this up. They were talking to Deontay. Deontay said... pretty much said that, you know, this is not a gentleman's sport, and literally, you know, if you can kill a man in the ring and it's legal. And he said it before that, you know, it'd be just, that'd be the ultimate, to just kill a man in the ring. And a lot of people acted like it was the first time they heard him say this, Jeff. But he reiterated it again, and then he gave him a great wink at the end of it, you know what I mean, to say, hey, you know, pretty much, yeah, I'm talking a little crazy right now, but I'm selling the fight. So what people have to understand is it's shock value. It's the heavyweight, it's the heavyweight class, man. That's what it is, man. And pretty much, people have to understand, this is where we're at with this. And they got to just get with it, that they got to sell, they got to put some butts in the seats, man, because Brazil can't really sell anything. That's what the main, what I'm even noticing too. And I know it offended a lot of people, but hey, you know, it's war out there in the ring, man. I'm not defending that. I don't want to see anybody get killed in the ring or anything like that. But, you know, even when you say, if he dies, he dies. Come on, man. We all know that he's referencing back to Drago. So, you know, I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, wow. This is just some crazy. It's such a PC world now, Jeff. People just have to understand that. People have to say things so you can sell things. That's how I see it. What's your take on this, Jeff?
I agree. I think, again, he's trying to promote the fight. He's trying to promote himself. Obviously, what you said is exactly correct. From the Drago and Apollo Creed, if he dies, he dies. You know, you're talking a sport that, you know, people get excited when people get not just knocked down, but knocked out. And then it's always, well, when you got the TKO in there, did they stop the fight too quick? Or, you know, the corner should have thrown the towel in. It's almost like it doesn't matter which side you're on, because the other side's going to bitch and moan, yell and complain anyways. Basically, in that type of sport, UFC, MMA, all those sports, it's the same.
Man, I'm telling you, this is all about making sure people tune in to Showtime. It's already not a pay-per-view fight. They're trying to build up something so Deontay can get a pay-per-view fight the next time around. But I think that there won't be another pay-per-view fight until he decides to fight Anthony Joshua. Really, what has to happen is, though, the boxers, like we said before, they're the ones that need to sit down and talk about what the deal needs to be for the fight. They're the ones fighting. They need to control the fight. Because we live in a day and age now where if you're a super athlete, you can negotiate the deal on your own. You can just have mediators in the room. But what people don't understand about these two are they're not super athletes yet. They are super athletes, but they're not superstars yet. And I hate to say it like that. They're superstars in the boxing game, but boxing is not at the top of the food chain in the sports world. It's really not. You know what I mean? They're actually scrapping with horse racing right now on who's going to be who can still be the national pastime, the national olden sport, because these are considered yesteryear sports. Boxing, horse racing, you know. I can't name another one. Baseball as well, too. You know, because baseball. They're trying to figure out new rules and new situations to where they can keep the fans interested, you know, because they're talking about, oh, the millennials are coming in. So, you know, we have to have more things for the apps and for the phones and la, 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 la. I said, well, you know, you got a generation of people like in my age group who are in their 30s that will be watching the game for the next 50 years or so, and they don't need all that. You know, and I think that the kids are pretty much taught by their parents when they come to a baseball game how to be at a baseball game. And if they don't want to be involved with that, then they don't have to go. And I think that at the end of the day, the way that baseball sells itself is a come on down, is a family gathering or a buddy gathering, it's going to continue to still have people come watch the game, because the thing is, it's very lax at a baseball game. You can sit there and have a two-hour conversation with a friend, and it's not a big deal. The guy next to you is not going to be like, shut up, I'm trying to watch the game. No, they're going to sit there and watch the game. See, but when you got a lot of nerves and a lot of action and a lot of a theater, like in the NFL and like in the NBA, then fans really want to pay attention to the game. They don't want to hear about your conversation. You know what I mean? But in baseball, you know, you might not get no action on all night long until the eighth inning. You know, you're back to back, just outs. Jeff, you've been at games like this before.
Oh, there's no doubt. I you know, I enjoy a 1-0 pitcher's duel. I know my kids don't, that's for sure. The same as a football game, you know. I have no problem with a 13-10 game. But, you know, nowadays kids, you know, in fantasy players, you know, they want the 41-40 games. You know, it's funny. You're talking about sports in general, and I'm looking at where we are today and where we will be, let's say, in the next, excuse me, the next 5 years, when 35, 38, 40 states are all up and coming legal. I think there's a niche for everyone. I've talked to you at length where I thought the next big thing was going to be the esports. And there's not a day where I don't get a half dozen emails from LinkedIn, you know, with guys building esports places, wanting me to invest in their teams, you know, arena football, yada, yada, yada. I mean, everyone's trying to find their niche. And I personally think, Pops, there's enough millions and millions and millions of dollars in sports gaming, everyone can get their little piece of the pie and be happy. It's just a matter of the age group. You know, the 20-year-old doesn't want to sit through a 3.5-hour baseball game. I almost think sometimes that's why they came up with the first five. You know, I can get in and out in, you know, an hour, hour and a half on the wager and end. Hockey, you know, first period under overs now was a big thing this year. There's always something that will grab someone's attention, and they'll be able to dip their big toe into the waters when they find their niche.
Yeah, you know, and pretty much I just feel that we gotta tell ourselves that we can't ask for so much from, you know, from the entertainment. This is all entertainment, and I think that it will still figure out ways to entertain people. So I really do hope for the best, but I really do think that, honestly, baseball is probably in the best shape than any sport, because their numbers stay consistent, their numbers stay the same, they know who they're going to cater to, and they know that, hey, and you know what's funny, people don't ever say this, but you know who's the quickest to get a stadium always out of the three major sports that are always chiming for stadium? Because you can't consider hockey, because hockey goes wherever the NBA team goes. So you got to be in town with an NBA team most times if you're a hockey team, unless you're in Canada. And I'm going back to saying this, Jeff, people really don't know this. Who has the least amount of trouble, Jeff?
You're saying for stadiums?
To get a stadium. They can always get a stadium.
You're not talking football, are you?
No. I'm talking about how baseball can easily always get their own stadium. Let me give you a great example. San Diego. the Padres got their own stadium. They funded the stadium. They found an area for the stadium. But what they did was they made it a 40,000 seat stadium to where it was going to take up a humongous amount of space. And then they put some got nice little decorations around it. It's one of the best ballparks in baseball. Same thing goes for the park that's in San Francisco as well, too. You know, Jeff? And they easily got those parks up. And even Oakland and the A's even had a stadium approved. They just wound up not wanting to go to Fremont because they looked at the numbers and they knew that was going to be a good idea to move to Fremont. It's just, you know what I'm saying, Jeff? And then I'm just bringing up San Diego because the Chargers went back and forth with the city for 20 years to get a stadium. And they come to L.A. and have to play in a stadium that's already 50 years older than the stadium that they just came from. I'm thinking about the Rams. I'm sorry. They got to go play in a soccer stadium that fits 20,000. They think that they're winning over there, but they winding up getting 15,000 on the opposition side, 5,000 for them. And it's just, okay, well, maybe if you waited and you guys just maybe want to go half, you could have a new stadium by 2022. Now you got two stadiums going up in LA and one going up in Vegas. You could have easily had a stadium going up in San Diego as well, too. But they wanted the taxpayer to pay for it. I just don't understand why the owners, knowing that they have the amount of money and the friends to go ahead and pay for it, but that's kicking a dead horse. I know. But I'm just using the example how baseball can get to the point quickly when it comes to building new stadiums. Like, they'll get their stadium.
They're usually smaller than, obviously, a football stadium. You know, it used to be, you know, 200 million, then a big one was 500 million. Then, you know, I think the Atlanta went into, what was it? Some astronomical. I think your Vegas stadium is almost like a, you know, billion-dollar stadium or whatever the crazy number is. I mean, it's just through the roof. And that was the other carrot. That's why I said football is if you build the brand-new stadium, they will come in regards to, I think Goodell has a little wink-wink with you, that if you build the brand-new stadium, you'll be able to host the Super Bowl within 4 years. So, you know, I don't know if Vegas ever would hope. Imagine, geez, can you imagine Vegas hosting a Super Bowl? Lord have mercy.
Man, Vegas having a Super Bowl, that's going to happen by 2025. I guarantee it. And Vegas Super Bowl is not going to end. Vegas Super Bowl will probably be the Super Bowl where you would want the two most disciplined teams to be there. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because you would even have to tell your NFL alumni, your teammates, your NFL alumni would even have to be disciplined at this one. But you know what? It will work out, though, Jeff. It's not as bad as people think it is. Because Vegas is a touristy town now. They are going away from what was the famous points, the gambling and drinking and girls, you know what I mean? That they got other things to do, like eating your heart away, eating some more, you know, enjoying a show. You know, there's all types of things you can do in Vegas. I just know that it would be just like the All-Star Weekend. Players would have to probably be somewhere secluded away from fans. But I know it would be a big, big money thing though in Vegas. It would be a lot of fun. But then they're gonna see how little of a city Vegas is as well too. when you do a Super Bowl out there, so we'll see how it goes. All right, Jeff, let's go ahead and get into some. NBA playoffs real quick. Last night, man, I was very impressed with the. I was super impressed with the Bucks last night, the way that they came back. Even though I did have the Raptors last night, I was gung-ho on the Raptors last night. But it happens, you know, sometimes you got to go, you got to bite that bullet. You know, they were up 12 points at one point in the game. They even withstood a quick four-point lead by the Bucks, came back, were up two, and then still figured out a way to lose with the 10-0 run on the Bucks side going out. And
for spread bettors, that broke your heart. But for guys like me who were on the money line, man, that really just toasted you, because you had a two for one. I got the 2-1, and it looks like it's gonna cash. It looks like it's gonna cash when we go into the fourth quarter. And this team literally just lays an egg in the fourth quarter, even though Kyle Lowry was awesome in the fourth quarter. I will give him that. He was awesome. But you know what, though? You can't replace a quality player like Brook Lopez, though, man. Brook Lopez played like the all-star he was when he was with the Nets last night, and it came out to be a big, big win for them last night, because Giannis was cold. Giannis was bad last night. I didn't like what I saw out of him. You know, it wasn't MVP work, but man, he showed that he has a team to back him up. And it was funny, because when they lost to the Celtics in the first game, they said, does he have a team to back him up? Now we're noticing that he does have a team that can back him up. But I really do think that the Raptors just kind of fell asleep at the wheel. And they've done this a few times in the playoffs, and they've done this a few times during the season. And that's a recipe that's not good for the Bucks down the road, I think, because once this team kind of figures out what you're going to really do, I think that they'll be able to make the adjustments better than Milwaukee. I just feel like, honestly, last night, they got a little lucky, man, to be dead honest with you, Jeff, just because, you know, nobody went to stick Brook Lopez, and he was hitting threes. And then all of a sudden, Marc Gasol thought he was a three-point winning contestant or something last night. He shot up 4 unneeded threes himself last night. In the fourth quarter. I know he was open, but just get a ball up, Mark, or take 2-3 dribbles in and hit an easy free throw. It's not that difficult. You know, so I think that it was really a great game last night. I just wish it would have fell in my favor, but it didn't, and it is what it is. What was your take on it, Jeff?
You know, there was some. You hit some good bullet points in my eyes, in regards to, you know, everyone's always given, you know, Kyle Lowry all the, you know, he's not an elite player, which I don't think some people thought he was. But man, he showed up yesterday. He had an amazing game. But I think, unfortunately, with his amazing game, Leonard was nowhere to be found in that fourth quarter. It was almost like he was like, all right, Lowry, you're hot, I'm going to give you the ball. He wasn't taking over that fourth quarter. And then Lopez was just throwing bombs down. It was almost like the two stars in that game, G and Leonard, let the supporting cast do what it had to do. And there was one point in that game where I said, I think it was after a Lopez three, I was like, this Bucks team actually can beat the Warriors. There was just that one little inkling, you know, because I knew deep down that the, you know, the spread was, you know, 6.5, 7. I knew about the money line. And then, you know, unfortunately, Bucks end the game on a 10-0 run and they backdoor the cover. I think you'll see a different Toronto team tomorrow. Like tonight, you know, you got game two, and I'm noticing some stuff, Pops, that the line has now gone a point down towards the Trailblazers. I'm noticing that the money line has gone down 40 cents on the Blazers today. Do you think deep down, I know we're talking the first game, but just so you can think about this as a follow-up, you think the Blazers going to win in them tonight?
Everybody keeps asking me this, man. You know how my ass be thinking, Jeff. You know how I be thinking, bro. You know all I ever want is the damn... You know I always want that damn dog. You know, it's all I ever want is that damn dog. And it's tough to just always keep jumping on a dog when a dog done lost for you the last two nights in a row. But this would be the night to go get him, I think. You know what I mean? That would be the night to go get him. And so I'm just saying that we would need to go ahead and get this one situated in the sense to say, where do we think we're going to go here? I think we're going to go over here, but I think the 7.5 can be covered. I'm not going to say the Blazers can win, but I think the plus 7.5 can be covered tonight because they can make the adjustment. And I think that the Warriors know that, hey, okay, it's fine. We're good to go. We got our one victory. We got our first victory in. We've already went ahead and solidified how this series is going to go, so we'll go from there. And I really do think that the Blazers can jump on the fact that there is no Kevin Durant there, so they don't have the bailout. Kevin Durant is a luxury, like they said, but I've always said this since he was on the since he got on the Warriors, that he's a luxury player for him. He's not a dependent player. You don't need to depend on him. But at this point right now, in a game like this, you would need Durant's 40 tonight to really see. Because I don't see Curry getting another 36 tonight.
Well, they were talking about that Steph and Klay are 28-1 right now without Durant. And they did win the championship without him. But I'm going to tell you something crazy.
And they lost one without him, too.
Yes. I'm looking at 10,000 tickets, almost 10,000, let's say 10,200 tickets. That line now is down to 7, soon to be 6.5, maybe in a couple spots, with more money coming in, obviously, on Portland. But here's the eye catcher. Golden State opened up minus 350. They're getting 64% of the money in, and now they're down to 305. Portland went from 281 to plus 249. Now, again, listen, it's all about cashing the tickets. So if you did a unit on Portland plus the 7 and a hook today, buy the hook, and you put a half unit on Portland plus the 249, as long as they cover, at least you win a half unit. Just like last night, you know, if you had a unit on Toronto plus the 7, and then you had a half unit on the money line like yourself, you got boned. I mean, because you didn't cash either. So it's hard. It's hard to keep dog going dogging if you can't cash one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you, man. What's the dog's opinion?
Yeah, I know. I told you it's the witching hours. I apologize.
Yeah, it's no. It's okay. The dog sound like he wants to be part. He wants to part.
Well, I think that's an omen right there. The dog's barking, telling you to take the Blazers tonight.
The dog's saying Blazers tonight, huh?
He's saying blaze one up for the Blazers.
Blaze one up. Well, you know we're definitely gonna do that, but you know we'll see, man. We'll see. Blazers, though. Jeff, what's the line looking at like right now with them?
Okay, I'm looking exactly. I'm going to hit the refresh button as we speak for you and all our listeners. I'll hit that for you. Currently looking at 10,182 tickets, 58% of the wagers, 44% of the money on the spread right now. So, more bets, less money on Golden State. Opened at 7 and opened at 8 is a flat 7. And I'm going to sell you right now at Chris. They're about to go to 6.5. It's 6.5 right now at the Heritage. And on the money line, 37% of the bets, 37% of the money is on Portland. Therefore, 63-63 is on the Warriors tonight. Yet, they went from 350 to 305, which is telling me reverse line movement and sharp, sharp money is coming in on the Blazers to win tonight.
All right. The duffel bag boys have spoken. Blazers is the play.
Imagine
Blazers
that.
Are the play.
And you're under over, by the way, just to give you the heads up on that one. Opened at 217 and a hook. It's at 219. I'm seeing 219 and a hook at Westgate and Caesars, 220 at the MGM. Consensus is 219 and a half, and the whole world's on the over. 68% of the wagers, 80% of the money is on the over tonight.
Well, 80% of money's on the over tonight?
Yep.
All right, play under. I was thinking over. But I said, man, forget it, play under. But for the Blazers to win, they gotta play that. They gotta go over. I'm thinking they need to score at least 110 points or better tonight to win. So, yeah, it's gonna be difficult, Jeff. This one's a tough one to call, but I guess we can take the Blazers since they we're getting points. And then the under over, man. Why, Public? Why, Johnny Public? Because I'm going to fade the Public and they're going to win tonight. The other night, I was walking in the room with the Public last night. 70% of the people was on the... No, I was... Actually, I liked the under last night for the Toronto game. What's our line looking like for Friday night's game with Toronto and Milwaukee?
Looking at a couple thousand tickets right now, real early. Bucks opened up at 6.5, and it's staying at 6.5. About 65% right now, all in on the Bucks. And the money line right now is about 70% on the Bucks. Opened at 280, they're still at 280. Toronto plus 230. Your under over opened at 215.5, 216, and that's where it's staying right now. So currently, as we speak, it looks like Bucks and over. That's where they're going.
You heard it. Bucks and over. That's what it's looking like right there. But you know where I'm going to do. Raptors, yeah, you got it. Bet it back.
Raptors and under.
Raptors, bet it back. I don't know if I'm going to do anything with the scoreboard, but Raptors, bet it back. We'll talk more about it tomorrow, though, too. Because I do still have a show tomorrow. I keep acting like I don't have a show tomorrow. But I do have a show tomorrow. Recording tonight. You know, so... all right. Real quick, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And we will be right back at you. This is the Primetime Eagles Radio Show. Brought to you by TwinSpires.com. Also, great website to look into to get your horse raised, horse betting on, and everything like that. And the Twin Spires are the same Twin Spires that are at Churchill Downs as well, too. That's who it's named after. So Churchill Downs is the owner of this website, and they are there for you to book up those great horse racing plays and go get those great horse racing strategies. All right, we'll be right back to you in a moment. We are back with the Primetime Angles Radio Show, the best sports betting show on the planet. You know, we went from the premiere, and this is the radio show, and I got my man Jeff Dawson in the building with me as usual. You know, it's Thursday. If Jeff is here with me, he's always here. He's locked in with me on Thursdays.
That I am.
Saturday and Sunday, though, you know, it's tough. Jeff is a busy man. You know, Jeff got things to run. You know, got things to run, you know. So, you know, we get him on Saturday, Sunday. It's a blessing. We can get him Sunday morning, though. And, you know, if we can get him Sunday morning away from his clients on an NFL Sunday, then it must be go. You know, I must be a special person if I can do that.
And we're going to have to figure that out over the summer here is and I'm talking out loud so people can listen and understand here, is how busy we are actually on Sundays. And I think what we really need to do is especially with you out in the West Coast, me on the East Coast, you know, on Friday nights, we can prep the listeners for the early card, you know, the 12:00, 1:00 kickoffs, and then might be able to come in and give them an SEC, a 3:30, 4:00 at night card at some point. And then the Sundays are hard, so maybe a hit and run, say, hey, you know, we can give them X, because if we lead them up, you know, to kickoff, sometimes there's a lot of times either you or I get a break because there's just too many clients who are asking questions, yada, yada, yada.
Hell yeah, I know one thing. When we was doing that Sunday show with Jimmy and them, I'd be sitting up in there about 9:45. Like, fellas, I really got to get off the line. We've already talked about the game. Now I'm listening to the fantasy guy. And, you know, it's funny because when we do it again, Jeff, it won't be a problem if we start at 8:00 like I did when I used to do the live, the stream. Because you guys got to understand, I did a stream as well, too, for the games. To talk back to fans, I used to do that at 8:00 or 8:30. And I'm trying to be off that show by the 45-minute mark. So there were games that we wouldn't even bring up sometimes because we just know that it's not it's a non-betting situation. Like, ain't nobody worried about betting this game today. It's a fantasy game for some people. You know what I mean? Or this is just a game that it only means something to the two fan bases. It happens. Yeah. It really does. Like, it really does happen. Like, you want to talk about wagers for every game, but sometimes you just say you don't want to throw your money in the lake either, though, too.
Yeah, well, you know, usually, because he'd start up top, and then, you know, you get into, like, the third game on the 4 o'clock slate, and it's Rams minus 12 and a half against Arizona. I mean, what do you want to talk about? You know, there's really not much to talk about there. And then, you know, it was a long, drawn-out process. So, like I said, I think more if we put our stamp on it, give them a lead in at 12 o'clock, you know, 1 o'clock, and then maybe, you know, when we're up and rolling Saturday, you know, we can give them the 3:30, 4 o'clock card and the evening card, and then, you know, pinpoint, 45 minutes to an hour, like, straight to the point on the NFL on Sundays.
Right. Well, we'll work that out. We over here giving out show ideas and stuff during the show, you know. NBA draft, Jeff, this was perplexing. It was crazy when the Lakers, when they got to the Wolves going number 11, everybody, they were like, it was like a magic card came out and was like, Lakers, top 4 pick. What? Thought the Lakers would be... The 10th pick will be drafted 10th. No. The Lakers, if they were anything past 11, they were automatically in the top 5. I couldn't believe that. That was nuts. And then you saw it, and like your heart broke for Phoenix when you saw them come in at 6. My heart broke for them. Yeah, really did. Somebody's alarm going off.
God,
never.
I did feel bad there. But obviously the comedy was, you know, Lakers, and then, you know, the Knicks think they're in. And, you know, it was almost like, you know, Zion had already been trained that he was going to the Knicks. And he was just like, you know. And, of course, Collin's going to bring up, well, he didn't hire an agent, therefore he can go back to Duke. He can be John Elway. He can, you know. And I'm like, Colin, please stop.
And literally, you know? like he made that a rumor immediately. Like, people were like, well, from what they're saying, he's talking about going back to Duke. And then the stepdad comes in immediately, like, we're not going back to Duke. Who said that? Dude, going back to Duke, what? Man. He left Duke the moment that shoe exploded. He was just doing a favor for his buddies. Coming back and playing. Now, if that was South Carolina or Missouri or Washington State or somebody, man, Zion out for the year. He done.
Oh, hell yeah. He would have pulled the market Fultz.
Yeah.
Fultz played the first 11 games and he knew where the team was going. I think it was after the Ivy League beat him. And he's like, I'm all done here.
It was after Zoe Ball beat on him. He said, enough is enough.
Exactly.
But that's another guy who's just too young to be in the NBA right now. He's not mature enough to be in the NBA. That's why he's struggling. That's the whole thing. Basketball is not top priority for him. Being in the NBA is priority, but being a great basketball player isn't. That's what I keep trying to tell people. That's what I said on my... You heard my show the other day, Jeff. You have to... When you get drafted, it doesn't mean anything. You have to... All the hard work starts the moment you get drafted. That's when you got to work even harder to keep that spot. They only see... You know, this... Let me explain being a rookie to everybody, if you don't... To the people who might not be working yet, because I know I got younger fans, too, that listen to the show. But it's like... When it's your first day at the job, everybody wants to train you. Everybody wants to work with you. Everybody sees potential in you. Everybody sees you as a part of the team. Glad you're on the team. But you know, after a while, you gotta kind of prove you. You gotta prove yourself. Okay, first week's over. All that good. The honeymoon's over. You know, we move on. There's other things we got to do now. So. you have to make sure you get better and you get better and you get better. And then you get better and then you get better some more. You know, because that's the way you get 10, 15-year careers. The way that you get a 2-3-year career is you just, oh, I'm here. Oh, I'm entitled. I'm supposed to be here. And boom. Next thing you know, you're somewhere talking about how you were the number one pick in the draft. And before you got hurt, you were better than this guy, better than that guy. And then next thing you know, you said you and Lenny Cook is doing motivational speeches at some high school. You know, so come on. That's where hard work. You gotta work hard, man, to stay in this league. It don't matter what you did in college. I'm just hoping Zion works on his stamina, man.
Well, you know something, you brought up the draft and then some, you know, mocks already the top 14 picks. I know Danny's infatuated with Bull Bull, and someone had him going at 13. And I just, from one of the sources that we have here, Danny just had his big powwow with upstairs, and they're all systems go, heading to Chicago. They are the front runner for Anthony Davis if Griffin cannot make him stay or try to tell him, hey, we're moving in the right direction. Kyrie, we all think he's gone to New York. We shall see there. But my question to you is this. I was shocked when I didn't see him in the top 14. Just was wondering your thoughts on the Purdue kid who had the amazing tournament.
I'm thinking that he's going to be a steal for a playoff team where he belongs. You know what I mean? I think that he would be a great. He's like my man. He's just like heart for the Lakers, man. A lot of people are going to overlook how good he is because, oh, he was in college. Yeah, he was a junior still already. You know, whoa. So what? So what? The guy can score buckets. It doesn't matter when he came out. So you're going to trust a guy more who's 19 who can score buckets than a guy who's 21, 22 who can score buckets? And, like, he already know how to get buckets. He's played against all types of different styles of hoop. That's the guy I trust the most. And guys like him wind up being on really good teams to take care of him later on down the road anyway. You know what I mean? It don't even matter where they get drafted at because he's already a highly talented. He's already a great talent. I would say that I would put him over the kid from Vanderbilt. I know the kid from Vanderbilt must be his better probably physically and on paper much better and more hype. But the thing is, you played at Vanderbilt. Awful. They weren't good.
You know they got that guy hyped like almost like a top 5 pick.
I said, dude, his college didn't even play in a postseason tournament.
No.
And I don't think he played last season for him either. So I said, what are we talking about?
I think he was hurt, wasn't he?
Yeah, I said, and a guy chose Vanderbilt as a school to go to? Really?
That was before Stackhouse.
Yeah, and I said, well, he probably picked the school because he was willing to go to the school for another 2 years, so he might not be good enough for the NBA yet. You know, if we're basing everything off of what they did in the All-American game, then we need to get our scouting. We need to get better scouts in the NBA. Seriously, but it's okay. The NBA Combine tells a lot of things about players. And I just think that this young group of players, it's not going to be young players coming anymore. It's going to be actual grown men coming now after this group's done with. They don't have anybody coming out of high school where they're like, that's a one and done player right there. Not this year. I haven't heard about not one of them. Usually you hear about these guys when they're juniors. You know, I haven't heard about one of them. You know, Bobo was a guy who would have went to the NBA if there wasn't a restriction. Zion would have went if there was no restriction. RJ would have went if there was no restriction. Cam Reddish would have went if there was no restriction. John Morant had to go to college, but he went to a smaller college. You know, was barely recruited. He's going to use that as a chip on his shoulder, but that doesn't mean he's going to be an NBA splash either. You know? So, you know, this draft is almost comical in a sense because you don't see Hall of Famer on really any of these guys except for Zion, but Zion got Hall of Fame hype. Don't mean he's a Hall of Famer.
Correct.
You know, they're putting him like in the Wilt, Kareem, Bill Russell coming to the league category, and I was like, I'm like, let's pipe that down a little bit. You know, I just really felt like everybody was saying, like, do you think it's rigged, the draft? I said, I don't think it's rigged. I just think that there's certain things that you got that has to happen. I said that that was the best thing to do, to let New Orleans get the first pick in the draft, so there's no complaining going on their side. You're giving them a possibility to get them two top five picks after their GM embarrassed them. After their GM embarrassed them last season, period, point blank. So that's why they gave them that, because that was a joke of a situation that occurred with the Lakers. And when, you know, Griffiths tells the press that I'm not trading him, la 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 la, that's just signals of saying that I'm not trading him for nothing. You know, and I think that the Lakers have put themselves in the driver's seat to get him, but they put themselves in the driver's seat to get a couple superstars, though. You know, if AD doesn't work out on draft night, they can get other people. You know, they could work this, they could easily work this into getting even more if they're able to move that four pick in the draft to a team that's say a playoff team, but they're trying to unload somebody maybe who's a star. You know, and I think that if they are, seriously, if you come with your best offer, if you come with Ingram, the fourth pick in the draft, and say two whatever players who are decent, then I think that you'll be able to make this deal happen. But everybody's all like, you gotta send Ball, Kuzma, Ingram, and the fourth pick. I was like, that's literally robbing the bank. And that's not even helping New Orleans. So you're gonna send three young players over there and then let them add two more young players? You know, so I don't get it, man. We'll have to see. Okay, it was a trade, Jeff. With Cambridge, it was a trade. It wasn't free agency, it was a trade. They gave up like the house for her.
Well, and I just retweeted, it's on our timeline here. They are now the favorite, 5-2 favorite to win the WNBA, and the Sparks are the second favorite, 3-1. Vegas is 5-2. So if you are there for opening night, you got the 1-2 punch right there in the house.
Yeah, they only did that because homegirl got hurt on the Storm. She tore her Achilles. The chick from UConn.
Yes.
Yeah, she tore her Achilles. But I still think that they'll be decent. They won a championship.
Mm-hmm.
The heart of a champion. You know, but I really do think that the New Orleans lucked up. But they were fortunate, man, because they got embarrassed by their superstar, so the NBA kind of wants to right that wrong. But like I said, the NBA doesn't owe New Orleans any favors, Jeff. They don't, because they're a launching pad team anyway. The team you go to, you already waiting to get on the next team. I'm just saying, what day they trade me? You know, what year they going to trade me in? When am I going to be walking from this team? There's nobody who's talking about I'm going to be on the Pelicans for the next 10 years. You know? So it doesn't matter if they get Zion. It's going to be, once they get to Zion's fourth season, they're going to be talking about Zion's next destination. You know? And that's what just, if I'm New Orleans, I skip out on Zion. I say, what can New York give me? Feel me? What can New York give me? You guys want them that bad? You want them real, real bad? All right, let's see how bad you want them.
Well, I mean, you got, you know, the funny thing is, it just the way the draft broke and stuff, okay? You know, the Knicks sitting, what, at 3, the Lakers at 4, you know, and then the Celtics and the Wings. So, in other words, it's almost like it would be intriguing if you know, AD decided to stick around with Zion, but you know he's not. And the sad thing about it now is this, is they're 2 years removed from the playoffs. Okay, now you get the number one pick in there. You've got a team to build around. He turned away what, almost $50 million a year. He's already said, I'm out. It's all about his brand and the will and wanting to win. Well, you go to the Lakers, and I know you'll have LeBron there, and then you add Jimmy Butler, whatever, but are you really going to win? I mean, what? I think Drew Brees has done pretty well in New Orleans. I think they've won a championship there. I think AD has built a big name and brand. You can win, and they'll embrace you in New Orleans.
Man, but you know what, though? I know what AD's thinking about, too, man. It's a football-driven city. Everything's about the Saints. You know, it's almost like second-class citizens, Pelicans, even with AD. You know, they overlooked. You know, if they really love some AD, they'd be filling up the house a little bit more. If you got a superstar player who's an elite player, you fill up the house for him. You don't pick and choose when it comes to the game. You know?
No, I get you.
And so that's why that's something that they're looking at too. Now, if there was sellouts every night and AD, you know, it AD every night MVP, then he would be more than willing to stay. But he's been ridiculed. He's been talked about. He's in the same situation as Durant. Like, good is not enough for them. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every time something goes bad with the team, it's his fault. You know, and that's not fair. So he needs to go somewhere where he can be kind of, you know, buttered up a little bit. You know, they don't do that enough in New Orleans, in my opinion. They was excited about getting him, and I think that because the way he was just like Zion, he hit the college basketball like a tornado. Literally had everybody like, whoa, this guy is good, you know? And he doesn't even need to be scoring all the points in some games. He can just go out here and just be on the court and be a difference. You know, and that's what makes AD really, really good is that when he gets on an elite team, like an upper echelon team, he's not going to have to be seen to get 30, 40 points all the time. He can just go out there and get 20 rebounds, 10 blocks for him. Because he plays that type of game. So, we'll see how it goes, man. But Memphis is the luckiest of them all because I didn't think Memphis needed to be in the top four either. And the Memphis, is to this day, the Grizzlies still have never held the first pick of the draft. It's sad, isn't it, Jeff? To this day. As Deontay Wilder, another phrase that he made very popular as well, too. I was there that day. I was in the room that day. It was funny when he did that. Not funny, but it was just crazy when he did it because everybody's just like, every media person, everybody just was all eyes glued on him because he yelled it out, you know, to this day, you know? So, you know. All right, Jeff, let's go ahead. Let's talk a little baseball real quick. And we can wrap this thing right on up. But, yeah, NBA draft, you guys be on the lookout. I'm working on it now. I'm trying to get in the building for that. Credentials is tough to get, but, hey, if we get them, we get them, Jeff. Dang. I handed out an under 10 on the Royals and the Rangers earlier, Jeff, just for a brand new client. It was just a little play because they're asking for a morning play. I feel so bad because what happened was the game was 1-1 going into the fifth inning. The wound up finishing 16-1, Jeff. That's a damn shame. And the Rangers scored 15 of those runs from the fifth inning on. Damn. That's those. Damn. All right. Okay. So, Friday baseball. Because, you know, it's not fair for me to talk about today's baseball if the show's supposed to be on tonight. But you know what? I don't. Hey, Jeff, what's the line reading on the Rockies Phillies game right now?
Rockies Phillies?
Mm-hmm.
For tomorrow. For tonight? For tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Right now, Phillies with Irvin minus 130. to 135 versus Gray. Actually, I've seen a couple 125s right now in a few spots, but a little money coming in on Gray initially. And weather should be good.
Okay. I like the Phillies tomorrow with the 1.5 run line there. I like them. And then also, I like the, I also like this matchup right here. It's the Astros and the Red Sox. What's the line looking like for that?
I tweeted that an hour and a half, 2 hours ago. It's an eye-opener. It's a statement in my eye. Cole's minus 130 at Boston against Porcello.
Give me the over. Last time Garrett Cole pitched, the game did go over, so I'm going to take the over again. And I think he got banged up, too. That was a Royals game, I think. We'll see. But I'm going to take the over here. Over, I'm getting over 9, right?
What do we got for you? Nine and a hook right now.
All right, I'm about to be bold here, too. I got another game for you, Jeff. This is going to be a major dog. I already know it is. Give me the Orioles tomorrow against the Indians, too.
Who you take? Orioles?
Yeah.
Not as big as you think right now. Cleveland's 170. You can get the Orioles plus 155. It is Plutko versus Bundy.
Okay, but watch what they do here, Jeff. Watch. It's 170 now, but when we get to the window, it's going to be minus 200 on the Indians. People are going to be feeling like that's their gimme bet for Friday. I promise you, Jeff.
Well, it's payday. Of course they're going to juice that
up. It's the gimme bet.
Of course it is.
This is it's the lock of the day. It's the game of the year.
No doubt.
We did all the stat checking. We did all that stuff. There's no way that the Indians are going to lose this game.
No, of course not.
Right.
They'll be on every parlay card, you know that?
Yeah, flashing tonight, sports investors. Look us up. You already know. Shit, those are the guys that be like, okay, give me $300, and then next thing you know, their whole business is over. It happened to a lot of people, not me, but it happened to people who became clients later on. So you made it real hard for me and Jeff. It was like, I don't know about you people in the beginning, you know, but I think it's a good idea though, you know. So it's all in all, that's why I tell people that this is a tough business, man. You guys, everybody ain't cut out for it. You know, it's like selling a car. They give everybody the opportunity to sell a car, but you got to have a passion. You got to have a love for it. And, you know, me and Jeff are really trying to get people to understand that part, too, you know. But it's all good. They'll get it eventually. Here goes. There's a lot of National League divisional games tomorrow. I'm trying to find games that aren't in the division. Let me go ahead, but we'll talk about this when we got 3 games down. Let's talk about Giants D-backs. What's the over and under on that one, Jeff? The game tomorrow night in Arizona.
Flat 9 right now.
Flat 9? Alright. I like the under here. I know it's 2 pitchers that look like easily the over will happen on them, but I'm going to take the under here. I am going to take the under. So, where are we at? 9, Jeff? Under 9 there.
Yes.
So, I'm doing the over 9 in the Red Sox-Astros game. I'm doing the Phillies run line 1.5. Then we're doing the Orioles money line, which is at 160 now. I think it'll be at 180 by the time we get to the first pitch. Okay, here goes a nice interleague game. Cardinals-Rangers. Okay, well, after the Rangers unloaded the clip on the Royals today, I don't think they unload the clip on the Cardinals, though, Jeff. So, I'm going to take Miles Mikolas tomorrow to defeat them money line. What am I getting on the money line there, Jeff?
For Mikolas?
Yep.
That has not been posted because we are an undecided starter for Texas.
Okay, but the Rangers are saying that they talk about starting Jose Leclerc. Okay, but you know what? Who cares? Give me the Cardinals to win, Jeff. W minus 160 at the highest.
Well, if they put starting Leclerc, he used to be their closer, so.
Okay, then Leclerc's not starting then, probably. All right. But give me Cardinals to win. I even bet y'all. So is that four? Yeah, that's four. I got two more for you, Jeff. Two late games for you. Twins, Mariners. This is going to be a good one here, too. I like the Twins tomorrow in that game. And are they the favorite or are they the underdog here?
On the Twinkies?
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota, Perez versus Gonzalez. Right now, currently, Minnesota minus 120. And you can get Seattle anywhere from plus 101 to plus 105.
And tomorrow will probably be a minus 105 when you get to the pitch, first pitch, because people still think the Twins are just full as gold. So I'm going to take the Twins to win that one, though, Jeff.
He's been pitching good. I already got my eye on Perez.
Yep. I'm going to take them to win that one, Jeff. And then last but not least, the game that we close out with, Pirates, Padres. Jeff, ain't nothing but a gangster party here, man. Give me the over here. You know? Pirates, Padres. Lucchesi versus Jordan Lyles, who pitched for the Padres too, I think, last year. So he's pitching well though. So it's like, you really want the over, Pop? Yeah, I do want the over. Let's go ahead and take the over with the Pirates and the Padres. And that's gonna be what, Jeff? 8, 7.5? Probably 7, 8.
Let me see. Luch, right now, flat 7.
Okay, that's perfect. Give me over 7. You heard it here first, Craig. Give me over 7. Pirates and Padres. I think like a group of the San Diego people that I saw on Twitter, they went up to the Dodger game. They're super excited. Like, yep, time to come see Big Brother, huh?
Speaking of that, I haven't seen Craig around this week. Has he been quiet?
He's probably working. I'm waiting on another one of his great classic periscopes as well, too. So, hey, all you San Diego people who listen to the show, y'all better check your boy Craig Medros out. Man, Craig Meddy, Cash Meddy. He got some good knowledge, man. Some good stuff. And he loves his San Diego. He loves his San Diego Padres, boy. I'm telling you, and all the Detroit Lions fans, you know, he's there, right there for y'all, too. So y'all pay attention to my boy C. Matty. But yeah, man, pretty much, yeah, you know, it's that time of the year. Everybody getting ready for summer, Jeff. Everybody getting their beach body on, you know, all that good stuff.
We're trying. How's that sound?
We're trying. You know, I'm definitely trying to get my beach body. I think I got to probably call up Jeff's personal trainer for some tips. I got all these guys that around me, they're workout nuts, and I'm over here talking to Jeff about getting his guys tips. You know, but it's all good. It's all good. Health is wealth. You know, you got to hit it when it's time. But yeah, man, it's 3:30. It's 3:30 out in the West. You know, the show is being pre-recorded tonight, so pretty much that's that, Jeff. You know what I mean? Another great show, brother. You know, we went through the baseball. We did not neglect baseball today, even though we didn't go into standings, things like that. But that's fine. That's what tomorrow is for. And then you guys heard our 2 cents on the NBA draft. We'll have more to talk about the NBA draft as we move towards it and we start seeing more prospects other than Zion and Morant and Barrett, you know, when they start talking about more than 3 people. But we'll be here for that. But, yeah. I want to thank you guys so much for listening to the show today. You guys make sure to tune in daily, Thursday through Monday. Show's 7 p.m. Pacific time on 12-Ounce Sports Radio. And that's also within the TuneIn app as well. You guys can also listen to the show anytime on Anchor. And it's also available on Spotify, iTunes, and other great listening platforms as well that you can listen to podcasts on. So wherever you can listen, wherever the biggest podcast is at, This one's on it as well, too. So just type in The Primetime Angles Radio Show, and it'll pop right on up for you. But you guys make sure that you stay good, that you stay ready, and you guys tune in tomorrow. For sure, for sure. You guys better tune in, and you better listen to it two or three times tomorrow. You know, I gave you guys tonight's game. I gave you guys tomorrow's game. And I won't be hearing nothing about how you feel about the Raptors in the morning. All right, so I thank Jeff so much for joining us, man. I know that he's a busy man as well, too. Jeff, anything, parting words before we go?
Follow us on the Twitter at EC Sports and Rest. Follow us. We'll follow you back. Answer any questions you might have. Check out our website at eastcoastsportsinvestors.com and our e-commerce store at store.eastcoastsportsinvestors.com. Quick picks, 50 to 75% off. Pops will be having the weekend Santa Anita card or whatever card he is. We'll be handling on Saturday. We got actually the Preakness also. So I would assume he might have a word or two about the Preakness coming up. Looking to expand on the store with gear, swag, educational videos, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So big thanks to Pops. I'm much appreciated. As Karen Carpenter basically saying a million years ago, we've only just begun. Yeah, we're the OGs here, but we plan to be here for a long time. So thank you, Pops.
You got it, brother. Hey, the dog is spoken, so that means that the dog is going to win tonight. All right. It's your boy, The Primetime Capital Pie DiBiase, and this is The Primetime Angles Radio Show with Jeff Dawson, my man. All right, so you guys make sure to tune in tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. I got you guys covered, and I got the extra for you on Tuesday as well, too. So you guys have a good one. I'll be back with you.